Hello, hello, hello.
What up?
Welcome to The Plot Strikes Back. Bum, bum, bum. We're here to talk about one of the greatest movies that was ever made by George Lucas.
Yeah, it was. And honestly, I would, and you can attest to this, but one of the most anticipated movies of all time to ever come out.
Definitely, because after Return of the Jedi, everyone speculated in their own non-internet ways as to whether or not George Lucas will ever make another movie. And he talked about doing prequels and going before the original trilogy. And, you know, that big gap of time.
What was it?
When Return of the Jedi came out.
Yeah, what was that?
What year did that come out?
Yeah. Was that 80?
It was the early 80s, essentially, right? Was it 81? No.
No, I think it was 84 or 5.
Check that out. But continuing from the episode 6 to episode 1.
Wow, 1983, May 25th, 1983.
So, I mean, you're talking about 16 years later, right? 83 to 99. And people just loving Star Wars for those 16 years, collecting all the old merchandise, all the old toys you see, like people still have, like in their man caves or whatever, you know, their basements, yep. their you know, collectible rooms, whatever. And, you know, it's funny to see how much of an impact that had on people, which is great to see too. I mean, it was definitely an immaculate culture around being a nerd, being into science fiction, right? Like,
yeah,
from the original trilogy. And I know Star Trek had a little bit of an effect on that, but I think even then a lot more people were into Star Wars than Star Trek. sorry if you're a Trekkie out there, but I'm not, and that's totally fine. But when you get 16 years later and then you see that The Phantom Menace is coming out, episode 1, the prequels, and, you know, you see, you know, really the only two prominent actors at that time that were in it were Liam Neeson.
Three. Well, actually,
well, I mean, between Sam Jackson, yeah, and Liam Neeson.
I was going to say Natalie Portman too. She did.
She was a young actress at that time. Like, she wasn't like well known.
What was that movie she did with
Gary
Oldman? Yeah, Gary Oldman's in it.
Oh yeah, but I don't remember.
But actually. I get what you,
yeah,
mean.
Like,
but, yeah,
for people that know, I mean, I'm
even then, yeah,
she's the same age as me, and I had no idea who she was. Dude, she was 13, 14 years old.
Was.
I mean, to be honest, my point is that she's nowhere near the stature of Sam Jackson or Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, look at their list of movies before Phantom Menace compared to
Pulp Fiction, Schindler's List.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you know what I'm,
yeah,
saying? So,
yeah, that's fair.
You know, but Deep Blue Sea. anyway, seeing, I mean, I told you this, I'm, you know, off record. I remember what it was like being a 14-year-old kid and watching that movie and then, you know, just wanting to have a lightsaber. And me and my buddies, we had these, Chennai, sticks, which are like kind of like practice,
bamboo ones, it's like a kendo stick kind,
yeah,
of,
yeah, a kendo stick,
like,
yeah,
a handle,
yeah. We used to, we would just battle each other with like on this giant field we had in our neighborhood, and like we would just pretend we were Jedi, you know, or Sith, and just it was the funnest,
dude,
thing.
Be a kid again, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like we. And I don't remember if there was not at first, but there was a really great PlayStation game that came out, which I still have on disc. It's called Jedi Power Battles.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say, what was it called? Jedi Knight or Jedi?
Oh, the Dark Forces. Yeah, no, I got them right here. It's like you know, you've got like Star Wars Jedi Academy, Dark Forces, Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight. I forget what the other one was. There's a couple of them, but anyway, those were more PC, you know, based games. Whereas like you didn't really have. I mean, the pod racing game came out to Nintendo 64, which I played the hell out of.
I never played that game.
It was fun. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good, for what it was worth, at least. You know, again, just, you know, gaming at that time was on like another level. But to see this movie again 25 years later, you know, it's crazy because you've got the same introduction with like the THX, the drum roll, the Fox, you know, everything. So, and I think I sent you, there was this clip of at the largest theater in France. It was completely sold out. And like the whole crowd was going nuts, like doing like the Fox, like they were singing along to like the Fox intro. Yeah. Like, you know, like, and you don't get that same thing.
And then you get the silence and just the Lucasfilm. The Lucasfilm. You're like, let's go.
Yeah.
And then you get the words.
The Galaxy Far, Far Away.
Which, I mean, as you know, obviously, but those listening don't know, it did go to theaters, and I went and saw it with my dad. I think it was just my dad. And man, it was awesome to see on the big screen because I was only 4 when this came out in theaters originally.
Yeah.
So I remember seeing the Clone Wars and Revenge of the Sith in theaters, but I never saw this one in theaters.
Yeah.
So that was really cool because obviously the last time I saw those words on a screen in a theater, I was, had my heart ripped out, stepped on, and was just told, all right, now have a good one.
Yeah. And
so
the fact that it made a decent amount of money.
Dude, it actually made like a good amount of money.
That's what I'm saying. Like I think opening weekend it made like $12 million. So like it topped like the, was it their second or first on like the box office weekend, which
I think it was first. And that's only off of what, like each theater only had 2 showings a day, I think.
Yeah. It wasn't in like popular theater. I mean, it was in popular theaters, but
like it wasn't in
big theaters.
Yeah. It wasn't in like Dolby.
Yeah. It wasn't in, you know, your high quality theater like screens and like AMC or, I mean, we didn't see in this, well, it wasn't a bad size theater, but it wasn't that big.
Nah, I mean, it was,
yeah, it wasn't like your RPX or, you know, Dolby or,
dude, RPX IMAX. Might be the move now, actually.
RPX is dope. Yeah, I agree. But I mean, as we were watching, you, me and your dad, like it definitely reminded me of that same feeling, but it just also was very apparent of like, and again, I know how a lot of people felt for a while. I never had a problem with the sequels, or sorry, with the prequels. And I know a lot of people like didn't like the pod racing or thought it was too long, or, you know, didn't like what's his face who played a young Anakin. And I'm like, I know a lot of people's complaints were it was more so George Lucas's directing.
That's how I feel about Attack of the Clones. Okay. Yeah. I love George Lucas, but come on.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Attack of the Clones definitely had problems, and I'm sure they'll do like a 25 year release for that.
Yeah.
So like whenever we decide to review that movie, it's sort of like the same thing will happen, right? Like we're going to get to a point where we're going to talk about how that's like, again, as a viewing experience in the theater. But I think for a lot of what we see in, you know, in the theater for Phantom Menace, like a lot of parts brought smiles to me because I was just so like filled with joy to kind of see this again.
Dude, Duel of the Fates?
Yeah. Duel of the Fates was amazing.
It was absolutely amazing. And honestly, I remember saying this to you, but I remember I liked it a lot more this time. Not that I hated it or didn't like it previously, but it's almost like it made way more sense.
Yeah.
You know, now as an adult. I mean, honestly, I hadn't seen this movie in, oh gosh, it had been from front to, or beginning to end. It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
You mean like watching it at home?
Yeah, just in general. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, all right, duel the, you know, let's watch the end scene because that was epic. But it made a lot more sense to the whole Star Wars universe. And you're like, oh man, this has been in place for a long time.
Yeah. I definitely think that there is a difference between watching a movie at home as opposed to watching it in the theater. And I know for this movie in particular, like, I mean, if you've got a good home entertainment system at home, then I think you can kind of replicate it to a certain degree, but not everyone does. So I feel like seeing this movie in, you know, in the theater was an experience again, and it just wasn't a nostalgic experience. It was definitely a realization that we had something good that we didn't really know that we had at that time, because so many people were just in this like weird disagreement about it.
Yeah.
Even though again, afterwards people were like, oh man, you know what? Like prequels are, and again, I think the sequels showed a lot of people how bad they were, and then realized, man, the prequels are actually fire. Especially like Revenge of the Sith.
Dude, don't even start. I love Revenge of the Sith.
So when you've got that, and then, you know, obviously Phantom Menace is like the second best one out of the three, and then Attack of the Clones is the third, or like the worst out of the three. One of the things that I always thought could have been shorter was the pod race scene. But watching in the theater, I really didn't mind it as much.
No, it didn't feel like it was too long. Let me rephrase that. You could tell it's like, so my thing with George Lucas is, all of his movies, not all of his movies, I would say the prequels actually, are, you watch some of these scenes and you're like, all right, this could have been anywhere from 10 seconds to 3 minutes shorter. And the pod racing felt like that. But it wasn't like, ugh, is this thing over yet?
Well, you know what's interesting? Because I believe there was a longer take on this movie, and then we know there's the rumor that Revenge of the Sith, there's like a 4-hour cut somewhere. Dude,
literally the intro scene is an hour long,
and that's what I'm saying, where like there's a lot more action. There was like a 6-minute Obi-Wan
and Grievous's guards,
yeah, we fight like six of Grievous, Utapau system, yeah. Something like that. But yeah, he fights six of them. It's like a bunch of them. It's like a 6-minute long fight
versus
scene.
The thing where he's just,
yeah, he just uses the Force, and he trained for it for like weeks or whatever.
Yeah,
with Nick Gillard. And
well, also in that hour long intro scene, that one Jedi gets killed right before him.
Yeah,
by Grievous.
Yeah.
Question mark.
Yeah, I think it was Grievous.
Right. It's like, man. So imagine what a longer cut of this or Attack the Clones.
Yeah, I agree. Is. And I don't know, again, at that time where it's like you got to focus on this 2-hour movie mark, and that can sometimes be, you know, it can have a negative effect.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're trying to hit a 2-hour mark with this movie, but you're having to, pick and choose which scenes are longer, which are shorter. And you sacrifice some things, and sometimes that sacrifice might not bode well for you, yeah. which sucks. And, you know, again, kind of watching it back, I don't know if it's because I'm older now. Like, I never had a problem with Jake Lloyd's, you know, acting as a young Anakin Skywalker, because I'm like,
he was a kid.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, and especially if you're around kids, you know, kids act like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, kids ask a ton of questions. Kids are, you know, impressed by the most simplest of things. So it's not like I thought what George was trying to direct him to do was so far-fetched or like terrible, you know.
Tim Curry, I think is his name. Yeah, RIP, by the way. The clown, original Pennywise.
Oh, yes.
The waiter. I'm sorry, the butler from Scary Movie
mm-hmm.
2. He said it perfectly, and I'm going to botch this, but he was asked in an interview how it was like to work with kids on It, and he was like, it was awful. Like, why? He goes, because kids are terrible actors. And honestly, yeah. So once you realize that this kid is just playing a kid,
yeah,
you have to also realize that the mean, big, bad Darth Vader was once a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe in the last 10 years or so, some of the kid actors that we've had have been better, right?
I yeah.
mean, like the kids that were in the reboot of It.
Yeah,
they were great.
The kids on Stranger Things,
right? So, you know,
much better now.
And I think that
then that was different,
right? But I think that it comes with directing, coaching, talent practice, as well.
Talent, yeah, yeah,
practice. Like, you know, who's, you know, where are they learning to act from? You know, and I do think maybe now that kids and, you know, being able to kind of get the better training to do these sorts of roles makes sense. But yeah, I didn't think it was bad. And again, even like looking at the CG effects in that time, again, like we're watching it in 2024, but thinking this came out in 1999.
It holds up.
It does. And which is crazy because, you know, George was always like, you know, ahead of his time with the ideas. And it's like, you know, I had this idea, you know, a long time ago. And it's like same thing with like the technology that the Mandalorian
yeah.
started to use, right? He's like, yeah, I thought of this in the 80s. It's like, what?
Dude, he was just like...
He was limited by technology. But yeah. But that just shows you like what type of visionary he was.
Yeah. And I mean, even his... the only other two movies I've seen of his were American Graffiti.
Yep.
And then he had, or well, actually his first one, TX-1000 or something,
yes.
which was really weird.
Yeah.
But
then the amount of movies that he helped out with.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You have to realize maybe a little bit Jurassic Park.
A little Jurassic Park.
You know,
yeah.
because he was such good friends with Spielberg.
Yeah. You know, so it's.
Which, funny, like it was like a day or two before we went and saw the. Movie with my dad where I saw something on Twitter maybe, sorry, X, where it was George Lucas showing Steven Spielberg the set of Naboo.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh my God, like this is insane. And then it's like, just how you, it's like, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out the words, but it's like, you finally did it. You know what I mean? Because it's yeah. like, you finally have the technology to where you can actually tell these stories how you want to tell them.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, the CG held up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, except Jar Jar. Still sucks.
Why are you hitting on Jar Jar?
Dude, I hate Jar Jar.
And I think that's one of the biggest talking points is Ahmed Best, he got a lot of flack for that.
Yeah.
And it's like, number one, that's just the directing that George gave him.
It's the character.
Yeah. And like he's supposed to be like this like kid friendly type of goofy, you know, alien race.
And he is.
And he exactly is. It's like he's exactly what George wanted. But people didn't like that type of character.
Yep.
You know, and again it just I can understand like in the world of Star Wars, like, how does that character sort of exist? Because if you look at all the other Gungans as an example, no other Gungan acts that way. It's yeah. just Jar Jar. Jar Jar's like a unique, I don't know, one in a specimen. Whatever, you know, unique specimen of the Gungans.
Yep.
You know, and I've always loved what Qui-Gon says to him. He's like, Misa, speak. He's like, the ability to speak does not make you intelligent. And I'm like, man, you know how many people here on Earth think they're intelligent just because they can utter some words out of their stupid mouths?
Majority of them.
Yeah. Like, I've said that phrase a couple times in my life, and I want to use it more just because it's especially nowadays, it's such a relevant quote.
But to Jar Jar's defense, he does end up becoming a Senate representative of Naboo somehow. And I think that was just because George Lucas wanted to get him out of the main story.
Yeah.
And push him aside a little bit.
I think it was a way to move on from him.
But still acknowledge him.
Yeah.
Because it's like Jar Jar still works personally with...
The Queen. Yeah.
After they united on Naboo. During the start of the Trade Federation War?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Trade Federation, dude. These sons of guns just decided to blockade a planet, in case you guys have never seen this movie.
Which I don't know how, but...
And then, working with a secret Sith, try to then... Next thing you know, I'm not going to say it's a coup, but it's a slight vote out. The next thing you know, bam. Evil has risen.
Well, you know, I even as a kid, I loved the plot of this, because there's a lot of things that are apparent from this movie and just the writing where, and again, like, we have so much information at this point in time, but to think back then, you know, in 1999, talking about, because again, like, the internet didn't really exist as it does today, right? And like, it wouldn't for a while even get to the point where there's like online forums. I mean, there kind of were, but like nothing that popular.
Yeah.
So where people can go online on this forum, like for Star Wars, and talk about
like chat rooms, maybe, right?
I don't remember when AIM came out exactly. I remember using it later in high school, but I mean, I know we talked about it online on like an instant messenger, like junior, senior year type stuff. Anyway, I guess at that point, Attack of the Clones came out, but I think for this movie and, you know, thinking only two there are, no more, no less. It's like, well, we saw Darth Maul and, you know, he's gone. So even at that point, you knew that Anakin was going to start the dark side path at some point, because Palpatine's still there, but it's like they have no idea. They're that sort of blind. And I know people have kind of talked about this, and you talk, well, how is it that like the Jedi don't, you know, they don't realize it? And it's because they don't really follow the ways of the Force, and they're kind of following the ways of, we're here to, you know, as Obi-Wan says, my allegiance is to the Republic, you know, to democracy. And it's like, your allegiance should be to the Force as a Jedi, because the Force is what guides you, not the Republic, not democracy, you know. And that's something that, like, the Jedi lost track of, and that's why they were so blinded and couldn't see Sidious really, literally in front of their face. Like, they're talking to him face to face, and they have no idea he is a Sith.
And dude, there's you know, it's stuff that I'm blind to, you know, obviously as a kid, and all these kids were, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's like, one of the very last shots we get in Phantom Menace, one of them is after Palpatine's been, I think they're at the funeral of Qui-Gon.
Yeah, funeral. Yep.
And you see Palpatine standing there.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's him. Look at the chin. Look at his face. Dude. But it's like, but yeah, like, you're right. They were so blinded that I think it's a mixture of them being so blinded and him being so powerful.
Right.
That he was able to just slide in.
And again, he like, for all these sort of rankings that have happened over the years, like, Palpatine is no doubt one of the strongest Sith users, you know, in all of Star Wars. So much that he can literally stand around a bunch of other Jedi. And again,
And hide.
And hide in plain sight.
Question, though.
What?
Was it episode 2 where Yoda started to pick up on things? Or was it Clone War TV show where Yoda started to... Because I never saw the Clone War show. I saw the original Clone Wars, which is the sick version. I didn't see this. I've seen bits and pieces of the actual Clone Wars, but...
I'm trying to think, actually.
Because I feel like there's... Mace Windu, too. Both were incredibly strong Force users.
Mace didn't... I mean, obviously, Mace didn't know until the third movie, but...
But he didn't trust Annie.
I believe it was... I believe it was in the start of Clone Wars where Yoda says, you know, something in his backwards talk where, you know, he talks about how the dark side, you know, clouds things and makes it hard to see. Again, which is very foreshadowing because it's like he's speaking fact because Palpatine is masking his presence right in front of him. So I think it's very interesting. And the cool thing, too, about the Phantom Menace timeline is in case, and I know you haven't read it, but in case anyone listening hasn't read the book Darth Plagueis.
Oh yeah, you and my dad were talking about that.
Oh, right? My God. It's definitely one of the best Star Wars books ever written, you know, still to this day. And, you know, I don't know why we haven't gotten a movie about that.
Interesting.
It's like, you know, again, like you see, this is going to be a little bit of a rant here, but you see what Hugh Jackman, Steve Levy, and Ryan Reynolds have been doing here with Deadpool and Wolverine. And I actually just watched, there was like a 20-minute interview on Fandango.
I saw online a little bit of it where they mentioned just, like Storm, and he's like, I have a pair of shoes.
Yeah. That's from that interview. And, you know, Hugh Jackman even just kind of, you know, says like, we just wanted to do right by the fans. We wanted to give what the fans wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not a hard concept. This isn't rocket scientist. You're not trying to, you know, create something new here that doesn't have a formula built into it. It's like, no, the formula is there. All you have to do is just implement it. And, you know, this is something that Disney has repeatedly failed at. And they try to do, like, we want to do our own thing and can create something new. It's like, well, here's the thing, though.
It doesn't work.
And
we have how many years of and X amount of projects to cite as our sources for this?
Yeah. Like, and again, if you really, again, Disney is a business. Marvel is a business. Lucasfilm is a business. If the point of your business is to make money, you don't need to have a degree in this. To make money is to have a plan. You have a plan. Okay, what's profitable for Star Wars? A lot of people love this EU stuff, extended universe stuff, or expanded, whatever you want to call it. If they had just, and again, we're going to quote that 2012 interview where Kathleen Kennedy was sitting right across from George Lucas, and George Lucas says, you know, I've got treatments for, 7, 8, and 9. We've got, you know, a ton of comic books and graphic novels and books that, you know, Kathleen Kennedy and Disney can utilize and make, you know, plenty of content with. And so that was the promise that was supposed to be upheld and never was.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, but you think, again, knowing what we've gotten so far with George at the helm and thinking we're going to get the Thrawn trilogy, we're going to get, you know, Jaina and Jason Solo and Anakin Solo, and we're going to have, you know, the new Jedi Order, you know, play out, and we're going to have all these great movies, you know, as Jedi, you know, Grandmaster Luke Skywalker at the helm, and we're finally going to see the strongest Force user ever in the Star Wars universe here with Luke Skywalker. And the only sliver of that that we got was his cameo in the season 2 finale of The Mandalorian.
That was so sick.
Because what happened in The Last Jedi, that was not Luke Skywalker. That was an abomination.
The only thing I'll say obviously about the sequel trilogy. And unfairly, you don't get to say anything. Out of them all, they're all bad, I think. However, I am a person who can take positives even with negative. So there were things I liked about, very few things I liked about any of these movies, but Force Awakens had the most. And that may have been just because it was so, oh my God, we're getting a new Star Wars movie. But it was, I think it was because it was built up on this, what are we going to get next with the second one? But anyways, more so with The Last Jedi, which was really the turning point that really drove the nail into the coffin that was Star Wars.
Yeah.
Was Last Jedi. But whenever it didn't make sense for him to be disconnected to the Force whatsoever. However, he was. And when he did get reconnected, he was able to force project himself onto a planet, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not as deep in the lore as you of Star Wars. However, that's not cool. However, everything else was utterly terrible. And that's all I'm going to say about the sequel trilogy. Back to The Phantom Menace. You don't get to say anything.
That's fine. But just including, again, like including Darth Plagueis, because like you read this book, right? And again, this book comes out and, you know, this has nothing to do with Disney at the time. And so you're thinking, oh my God, as Palpatine is trying to finagle his way into the politics in The Phantom Menace, he's training and he's getting ready to kill Darth Plagueis.
Really? That's at the same time?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Wouldn't you like to see that?
That's interesting.
Like his sort of rise to power.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did I think that was
that's
like
why,
years?
That's why in... No, but that's why in episode 3, he's like, have you ever heard the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise? And it's like, no. And he's telling the story because...
it's still kind of fresh.
Yeah. It didn't happen that long ago, essentially.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Palpatine...
you kind of blew my mind a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, Palpatine... again, like most Sith, Palpatine was Plagueis' apprentice.
Yeah.
But Palpatine was like, I'm going to overthrow this guy, so I need my own apprentice. I got Darth Maul. And there was a comic book that I had about Darth Maul and how Palpatine... like tortured the hell out of Darth Maul.
Really?
Oh yeah, but it was all for like building that hatred and being him to be
a Sith,
as badass as a Sith he was.
And honestly, it's what kept him alive all those years.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he lived on because of the sheer hatred for Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, and I know some people didn't like that, but for the sake of going, listen.
I love
Clone Wars, that part, came with George Lucas at the helm. He's the creator. He gets to make those types of decisions.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've got, Sam Witwer coming in to voice him, who is definitely one of the best like voice actors out there, doing that Darth Maul voice, it's just, awesome. So
that's so interesting. So he just, while he was an apprentice, he just went up and got his own apprentice.
Yep. It's very typical for Sith to do that.
Yeah, that's fair, because at the same time, him having Darth Maul, he was also working with Dooku on...
yeah.
And
Dooku, and that's the thing, that Dooku tried to do that with Obi-Wan.
With Obi-Wan, really?
Well, yeah, in Clone Wars. Or sorry, Attack
of
the Clones.
Oh, yeah. Attack of the Clones. He's like, join me.
Yeah. And I feel like what would have happened if, it's like one of those what if questions. Like, what if Qui-Gon never died?
That would be cool.
Because did you watch the Tales of the Jedi?
I didn't, man.
Watch Tales of the Jedi. Need to. I didn't like Tales of the Empire. I
That's the new one, right?
Yeah, it was pretty meh.
Okay, honestly. How was the Grievous stuff? That seemed cool.
I mean, yeah, like a couple things were cool. Like, Darth Vader makes a cameo.
Okay, that answered my question. I don't want to see it.
But like, it focused too much on Barriss Offee, who was like a Jedi who tried to become an Inquisitor and whatnot. Whereas Tales of the Jedi focuses you know, a little bit on Ahsoka, but also focuses on a young Dooku Qui-Gon. And young Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of it on Yaddle, like, because everyone's like, what happened to Yaddle? And
Yaddle was killed by Dooku, right?
Yeah, in front of Palpatine. And Dooku didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
You could see he was sort of like, I have to, though. You know?
I mean, that's usually what you have to do. You know, Ben Solo had to kill his dad.
Who?
Oh, Ben Solo.
Ben Skywalker? I don't know who Ben Solo is.
So, even though we're talking about The Phantom Menace, I have questions about Plagueis. But we'll save them for...
Yeah, we'll save that for another time.
Because I have about 13 that I want to ask you right now. But however, so that's interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I think, as I was saying, but you have to like see these, you know, certain shots of Chancellor Palpatine and being like, that's him. That's the Emperor. That's the bad guy. You know?
I mean, to be fair, like,
I wonder, like, did you think that?
As a kid?
Yeah, when you saw this, you're like, oh my God, that's him.
Yeah, I think at one point I put two and two together because it was not just his, like, the bottom part of his
face.
The way
he talks.
But his voice. Just because he's like,
do it.
Oh, good, Anakin, you're over here. And then he's like, wipe them out. All of them. You know? And it's like, oh, wait. That sounds like him. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know.
Man.
But then it's also asking the question as you're a kid, like, Dad, is Palpatine's also the bad guy, right? And it's like, yeah. It's like, okay, I'm not stupid. You know. but no, it's, again, I think seeing it in theaters was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. I really hope they do that with, even if it's not 25 years, if they do that with the other two, episodes 2 and 3.
Right, I could definitely see them doing it. And honestly, I think they will just because they go, hey, you know what? We made some money with this. Hey, Disney, you made money off a Star Wars movie. Congratulations. But guess what? It wasn't made by you. It was made by George Lucas. How's that salt burn?
They're just counting the money.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you want to count money as a business and like, the best thing.
Don't you want to count more?
Yeah, like you, aren't you tired of your stock dropping? Aren't you tired of like these articles and it's sort of like, you
I'm
know,
so
all the bad press that has come out hurt. Of it? And again, look, it's helped a lot of content creators make a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
But then the funny thing is when content creators make videos and get popular off of these things, you have no one with to blame but yourself. Because of what you created.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what happens. And it's like, oh, you know, no press is bad press. It's like
bad press exists.
Yeah, no, bad press exists because it hurts your stocks. And then your investors go, what's going on? You know, and again, somehow Kathleen Kennedy still has a job, but
you know why? Because she saved Jurassic Park once. That is her saving grace, and
she's
hate it.
She's probably used that card so many times.
I know.
And at some point, it's got to end.
Apparently not.
Ugh. I mean, like, no, you've got a 20-year gap on this card. You've done used it already, Kathleen. Sorry, but I think too though. Again, you know, if they had honored, if they truly honored what George wanted to do with 7, 8, and 9, right, and then. We got what we would have gotten if George did it. Let's just say as an example, right? So now we've got a 9-movie saga that was created with, you know, with George to begin with, but then honored in the end. At that point, I feel like that would have been the not only the courteous thing to do, but the smart thing to do because again, let's say if I'm in charge of Lucasfilm, right? And George, we have this conversation at the table, it's recorded, it's online, blah, 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 blah. I go, you know what? It's going to make me look good if I uphold what George wanted with 7, 8, and 9 and we do something, even if it's not 100%, even if it's like 75%, not everyone will truly know, but George can say that, yeah, it was very close to what we had and blah, 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 right? And then people trust me. I've now gained trust from the population, from all the fans, from the masses. And I go, okay, so now that 789's done, we're going to make our own movies and come up with some different ideas. And at that point, cool. Let's say you wanted to do this whole First Order, Kylo Ren, you know, Rey ordeal that came after 789. Or was it, or I have an idea, was it in a different universe?
Not even that. It's you know, what you could have done, and a perfect example is when you and I got together after Last Jedi and we're like, what is that? We can write a better one. And we did.
Yeah.
But we took, honestly, 70-75% of Last Jedi and filled it with our own. Yeah, we kept Canto Bite, but we changed it. You know what I mean? Like, we did, we completely changed and did all this other different shit, but versus a chase scene that took place over a few hours, which so you can only do with Mad Max. I'm sorry. Not Star Wars, but
yeah.
And we had, you know, double digit people read it and go, oh wow, that's actually really good.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can do it.
And we wrote it in no time flat. It's like, you know, if we came up with something like 100% on our own,
yeah,
it would have been that much better.
Yeah.
You know, so, I think for the sake of, again, like looking at what we've got from the Phantom Menace, and, you know, regardless of how much it was criticized at one point in time, people have now realized that we did get a really good movie. And again, not saying it's perfect, but it's a lot better than we thought. And I think that being in the theater helped, I mean, you said yourself, has like kind of made you realize, like, man, actually this movie is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, obviously the great John Williams and his composition. But again, the main highlight from that movie, a Duel of the Fates.
Dude, chills. I mean,
again, seeing that part again in the theater was just, ugh. How we haven't amazing. Gotten the same sort of lightsaber combat from Nick Gillard. Unless Disney rehires him, Disney will never come close to that choreography. Hey,
apparently, okay, I do have a slight confession.
What?
I'm slightly excited for Acolyte because it wasn't the purple, which shouldn't exist because it's not Samuel Jackson, Jedi whip looking thing. It was the Jedi Wookiee. However, apparently the choreography in this show, and I can't even say it without laughing, will rival the prequels, which I don't can believe.
I don't know.
Because
they say that, and I was like, did we watch the same movie? Because I'm pretty sure y'all did not.
I think what they mean was better than the sequels, because those were trash.
Yeah, if they meant the sequels, I for sure. No, but like, you're not going to have better lightsaber combat than Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon versus Maul. Or Obi-Wan versus Maul, or a young Anakin and slightly older Obi-Wan versus Count Dooku, Yoda versus Dooku.
Dude, I will never. Yoda is my dad's favorite Star Wars character of all time.
Yeah.
I will never forget when he took us to see that.
Oh, then Yoda started flipping around.
And Yoda walked in and he was like, oh my God. I was like, Dad. Never, I will never forget that, because you saw this great scene. You're like, oh, okay, Dooku's good, but Yoda looks like he's better. And then he opens up his coat, freaking grabs his little tiny lightsaber. It's green. And you're like, oh, what are we about to see?
I mean, I remember in the theater when Yoda starts walking out, people got hyped.
Because you see a shadow and you hear him going, eh.
People because like, he's 800 years old. People are like, oh no. Oh my God, it's Yoda. Like, I remember people at that time. That might have been like the first time I've heard people kind of get excited in the theater.
I'm trying to think of, wow, I have to really think about the first time I remember hearing people freak out in a theater like that before, like BM before Marvel.
Yeah.
Movies, but
true.
But yeah, anyways. Yeah, I don't see this new show having better choreography than the prequel trilogy, let alone this single movie because of Ray Parker.
Ray Park, sorry.
Not Parker.
No, and that's the thing. Ray Park was an actual martial arts like athlete.
Yeah.
Like, he did all those stunts himself. Award winning? I believe so.
Like he won some high ranking competitions.
Yeah. And then he mo-capped himself doing it again when he came back for the final season of Clone Wars.
Oh, that's cool.
As Darth Maul. Yeah.
That's cool. Did he come back as Darth Maul for the Rogue One little cutscene? Do you know if that was him? Because that was cool.
It might have been. I'm pretty sure. I think it was.
Oh, so cool.
I think it was. If I remember correctly, I think it was. But
sick.
I think it would have been, you know, and again, there was a story where he was going to be in the sequels, and we're supposed to get Darth Talon.
It was going to be a Twi'lek, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that because we found that out a couple years ago, and we're like, what the hell?
Darth Talon, the books was great. I mean, dude, she. Yeah, it's just one of those things where you, I know a lot of people haven't read the books, and it's sort of like something I always say is, you know, but if you did, you would then know what we've been saying all this time and go, we could have gotten this. And then you realize what we've got. And you're like, yeah, it's like saying you got served this meal and going, yeah, but you're a perfect example. You had a steak. Cool. No, that's good. Steak was good.
Love steak.
And then you go to a place like Charlie's Steakhouse and you eat this $200 piece of Wagyu beef that is just prepared deliciously for you.
What, my mouth's watering.
And then every bite you have is just like
heaven sent.
Yeah, you know, and you're like, I didn't know this existed. It's like, no, now you do. You know, that's sort of like an analogy.
The difference is that I can't go off on a Wagyu steak right, like, tangent. I can go on a deep tangent.
Yeah, obviously, prices aside, like obviously these books aren't expensive.
Yes, it's like,
it's more so the story is rich.
It's literally what I just experienced with you telling me Darth Plagueis.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we'll exchange the price for just the rich story.
Yeah,
you know, so
it being good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, but yeah, you know, I'd be shocked if people haven't seen The Phantom Menace by this point. And if you have, I hope you got the opportunity to watch it in the theater. You know, maybe you did when it first came out in 1999, but you know, it was awesome. And I honestly can't wait to see episode 2 and 3 in the theaters. What was that? 14 bucks for the book on Amazon.
Yeah. Oh man, I missed it.
I'm sure you can find it again.
Well, no. I was gonna say all the books were 30% off, and I just kept adding books to my cart, and I just realized I missed the sale. Damn it.
Dang.
But yes, I would love to see 2 and 3. Like I said earlier, come back to theaters, even because it was. I saw something the other day that said Revenge of the Sith was released X amount of years ago. What was that? 19 years ago?
Let's see. I want to say
2003? 4.
Was it 4 or was it 5? I know.
You know what? It might be 5.
I think it was 5 because I remember Attack of the Clones came out in 2002.
Yes. May 19th, 2005.
Yeah. Okay. So literally yesterday, as of the time we're recording this, but
wow,
we
need to watch it.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that movie in a while, actually.
Isn't it interesting because these movies are all released in May, but yet Disney's like, we're going to release movies in December.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? You ruined that, Disney.
Kathleen Kennedy, dude.
She's terrible. get her out, man. She's not making any good. Any good business decisions. It's just trash. Shows are trash.
Except.
Movies are trash.
Saving Jurassic Park in 1993.
good thing she didn't write that story. Oh my God. Oh,
thank God.
She'd been like, let's put the T-Rex on a, I don't know.
Say it. Say the rest of your thought.
I can't.
You can't even access what the potential thoughts inside of her head are.
No, yeah. That's like a door I'm like kind of like, I won't even grab the handle on that door.
I don't want to, because if I do, the door's flying off the hinges.
Yeah, it's just gonna rush, and then I have to just grin and bear it and go through, and then it's not, and then we'll be here for another half hour, just me just ranting
about the one thing Kathleen Kennedy did in 2002.
It's like there's a little documentary of like how movies are made on Netflix, and it talks about that, I think, and that's when I was like, oh wow, she did something useful and helpful to the people there because of a hurricane, and granted. They got that film action for the movie that from the hurricane.
Hey,
so
one thing. She saved my favorite movie.
Yeah,
one of them.
She helped out
just a little bit,
but anyway. So, what would you rate it?
You know, I think I'm gonna rate this. Yeah. I think I want to go with like an 89.
Okay.
88, 89, I think.
Because
I also have to think of the other Star Wars movies as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously, it's further down on the entire list, but...
But it's... Like I said, I remembered it being better. I think I probably would have... given this closer to like a 70, 75, you know, if you would have asked me a couple years ago.
Right.
Even a couple months ago, maybe, just because I hadn't seen it in forever. But like I said, after watching it, I'm like, wow, this was actually like much better because of all of that groundwork that is laid in that movie, which you realize now.
Yeah.
What about you? What would you give it?
Yeah, honestly, that's kind of like right where I was. Like, you know, it's somewhere between like an 87 to an 89. No, yeah. I don't think it really breaks into like it's not like a 90 plus to me. I think if anything, it's maybe like I could even go to an 85 at the lowest.
You know, you said 87. I'm like, you know what? I think it's like an 80. Yeah, 85 to 87.
Yeah,
is a good range for it. So I'm gonna change mine to at most an 88, but I'm gonna go with an 87
because it's not better than. 4, 5, 6, or I should say 3, 4, 5, 6, but it's better than 2. It's better than
79.
Well, 79 are like zeros to me. So, I mean, it's like, but Attack of the Clones obviously is like, that's lower.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also longer.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't know why.
Well, cause it's the start of the Clone Wars, man. You have to dive into, you know, Obi-Wan starts to investigate Jedi Master Sifo Dyas and a mysterious bounty hunter, which then leads him to Geonosis out in the Outer Rim, which you then find out is still heavily working with the Trade Federation.
Yeah.
So you find that out. That gets wild. And then he finds a Sith Lord that used to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
It gets good in the second act. Gets real good. Honestly...
There's some good parts in it, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, there's a lot of good parts because you get a good Anakin, Obi-Wan. You know what? We should watch Attack of the Clones and review that soon.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that.
Because now I want to go on a Star Wars kick.
A good Star Wars kick, that is, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
As intended.
Yeah.
1 through 6.
I agree.
Rogue One.
So if you're listening, what would you rate and give... Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Would you give it same score we did? Would you give it a lower score? Would you give it a higher score? And if so, tell us why.
Yeah, let us know on
voice your thoughts.
X or Twitter, whatever you still want to call it.
Yeah, you could find us at X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
At Plot Strikes Back.
No, the.
And yeah, just tag us.
Let us know.
Let us know. So.
And if you think we ranked it too... low or high, let us know why.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you know more about the political situation that was going on between Naboo and the Trade Federation than we do. Or if
probably
you
not,
think
but,
we rated it, yeah, I don't think so either.
I feel like the only person that could really debate us on that would be Star Wars Theory himself.
Well,
but he loves that movie too. So,
Mr. Theory, hey, please let us know. Junk 3PO, just because you have a great name as well, let us know.
Yeah, but, yeah, I don't know what he would rate this movie. I'd be kind of curious.
But yeah, for sure, Mr. Theory. Let us know what you would rate this movie.
I agree,
because that one would be good.
Yeah.
So that's all, folks.
Yep. That'll do it for this episode. However, there is plenty of content to come. We've got, if we can get around to it, we might talk about the new Apes movie, but not before we'll talk about Furiosa.
Yes, Furiosa, man. We're going to have some good stuff coming up. Some different stuff, too.
Yeah.
You know, once we get further into summer, but still going to be sick.
Got a couple of things I definitely would like to do over the, I mean, obviously beyond that, but
yeah,
which I mean, you and I talk about, but
yeah,
it'll be a secret to y'all listening. Sorry,
you just have to listen and stay tuned.
That's the great part, you know. If you hadn't been able to tell yet, we don't follow like a specific movie type of schedule. It's just, you know,
whatever we're feeling, you know, whatever catches our eye, whatever is.
You might make a recommendation, but like, hey, check this movie out, or like, or maybe do this, and you're like, you know what? Maybe we're feeling that movie now, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we, in some cases, like, it's, you know, I don't want to say we're not super on like the, it's this time of year, we'll do this type of movie sort of thing, but you know, it's only our second year doing this, so.
Yeah, I mean, we try to every now and again, like,
yeah,
you know, we'll. I don't think we did any Christmas movies.
But no, I think
pretty crazy for us, but we definitely did some.
Yeah, there were some busy times last year, so
we should. But yeah, it could be left, it could be right. Who knows? Could be horror. Probably not until October, honestly. Could be Star Wars. Could be Marvel. Could be, who knows? Alfred Hitchcock. You'll just have to stay tuned.
Yep, stay tuned, and that'll do it for us here on. The plot strikes back.